Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Both Roe v. Wade and Obergefell contradict natural law. You'll never be on the wrong side of history when you're on the right side of natural law.
For a long time now, the church has been infected by the world to make a woman think that to be of value, she must basically become a man.
The dare that we can give is, I dare you to read this. I dare you. Because the Word of God is living, mighty, and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's even living for people who are deniers and rejectors of it.
The one truth is that Jesus the Christ was born, died, and rose again from the dead for the salvation of men.
Utilization Review nurses love to listen to Issues Etc. while they work. Can I help you?
We speculate about whether the pandemic is over. The virus is going to be with us for the rest of time and hopefully not beyond time. But the mindsets, various mentalities that have been forged in a time of a several year long pandemic are really hard to shed. People are still very sensitive about the word vaccine or mandate or even mask. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jacob's dream in Genesis 28. We'll spend some time with Pastor Peter Burfind, author of the book Gnostic America. He is tracking the collapse of woke ideology. Then we'll ask the question, did Paul and James disagree on justification? Dr. Curtis Giese, author of the Concordia Commentary on James, will answer the question for us. In the meantime, it's time for a listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Before we get to our listeners' questions and comments, special thanks again to Pastors Jack Gilbert, Pastor David Ramirez, and others for inviting us to broadcast from the 2022 annual Bugenhagen Conference at St. John's Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin.
It was a nice trip.
And it's a great trip.
And good to see a lot of those folks, and also the remote went off very well. We just had zero problems. Kind of showed up, set up, ate, slept, did a few interviews, and came home.
Lots of great, faithful Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors there, and thanks again for inviting us. Let's begin with Bud in Canada. I feel the need to preface my comments with the observation that the vast majority of your interviews and comments are balanced and tend to present various points of view. This was also true of your recent interview with Georgie Boorman about her article on the coercion of the left regarding rights. I would like to point out the one place that I took great exception to her comments about the right not to get infected regarding masking and the COVID-19 virus, which she demeaned as interfering with other people's rights to not have to wear a mask. I would like to point out another quote I heard on Issues Etc. Your right to wave your fist around ends at the tip of my nose. That may be a paraphrase, but I hope you get the sense of my point. I live in Canada, and I recently heard an American visitor to our country complain that our federal government's regulations for federally controlled airports requiring the wearing of masks within the airport as an infringement of their human rights. At the height of the now declining pandemic, wearing masks wasn't about rights, it was about survival. Perhaps some of your listeners have very robust immune systems and will feel little or no ill effect if they contract the COVID-19 virus, but they still can be carriers of the virus and may, with their freedom, infect someone whose immune system is more susceptible. People die. Rights must include obligations. Our church has made the wearing of masks optional, and we have returned to the use of the common cup while still providing service for people who bring their own cup, and we also provide those cups. As an elder in our church, when I am assisting the pastor and therefore serving many of our members, both the pastor and I go masked to the communion rail. Thank you for the opportunity to present my point of view, and I pray for many blessings on your outreach. Thanks for listening in Canada, Bud.
As I was saying, after 2 years plus of a pandemic that seems to have no end in sight, these kind of things that I think ordinarily would not have caused us such distress are still causing us distress. You're quite right that rights must include obligations. We did that conversation with Georgie Borman, and she was pointing out that the left, it's not enough for the left to assert its own rights. They have to subdue your rights. They have to undo your rights for them to exercise theirs. She cited as an example the mask. That was an opinion of hers, by the way. And I've noticed over the years, literally the years of doing interviews during the pandemic, how every once in a while a guest will just kind of toss in one of their pandemic opinions. And it may not have been a good example, but she was speaking as one. If I'm not mistaken, Jeff, she mentioned that she and her family actually relocated in order to get out from under the kind of left's oppressive incursion on their rights. Now, I would not include saying you need to wear a mask as part of the left's agenda. I don't think if pressed on it, Georgie would either. She was citing it as an example. But it shows how still very, very sensitive everyone is on this. And I think I infuriate more people by saying I'm a mask agnostic. They want Wilkin to either say you must wear a mask or you must not wear a mask. I'm an agnostic. If the sign on the door says you must wear a mask to enter, I don't know of any place like that anymore. Except, believe it or not, community theater. They're just Nazis about those things. Genuinely mask Nazis. If it says wear a mask, I'll put on a mask, but I haven't worn one for months. I found a big pile of them behind the front seat of my truck. Like 6 or 7 of them. They must just be slipping through the cracks, but I haven't worn one in months.
You're holding on to them just in case, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for listeners who are critics of the COVID-19 vaccines, we just booked an interview today. I think it's for August 9th with cardiologist Peter McCullough. So there you go.
Why is that? I don't know who Peter McCullough is. Why is that?
He's a cardiologist who alleges that the COVID-19 vaccines have caused all kinds of heart issues.
Okay. You know my first question to him is going to be what?
Did you get vaccinated?
Yes. That's going to be my first question.
Second question should be, did the vaccine save lives?
Those are my first two questions.
And the gentleman we had on, one of the epidemiologists, you've got to say,
it's risk. Everything,
it's risk.
Everything
right.
Involves risk. Everything does. To a person, every expert we've talked to during the pandemic has said, all these things come with risks. Going unvaccinated comes with a risk. Getting vaccinated also comes with its own set of risks. Nothing you do in this world goes without risks. I'm going to, after I'm done with this interview, cross the parking lot, get into my vehicle, and turn it on. And I will be incurring all kinds of risks for the next 35 minutes. All kinds of risks that I'm willing to live with in order to go home and see my wife. It would be less risky for me to walk home. But it would also take me until probably 3 or 4 in the morning.
I don't know about that. I mean, have you seen some of the way these people drive out there and you're going to be walking on the side of the road?
In Collinsville, it would be more risky for me to walk across the street. But we incur risks all the time. The question is, what level of risk are you comfortable with? What level of risk is wise for the broader society? So if he can make the case that the level of risk in taking this vaccine to the broader society was actually greater if you took it than if they didn't take it, if he can make that case, I'll be very, very surprised.
Basically, will more people die from getting the COVID-19 vaccine as opposed to people who were vaccinated? Did the vaccine save lives? Will it be a net gain? Right?
Yeah. And I say that as one who took the first round of vaccines and then when I started pushing the boosters, I'm like, this is never going to end. And I said to myself, it sounds like this thing doesn't work very well to prevent infection. I've heard from many credible sources that you're going to get it eventually. So I personally know people who've been double vaccinated and double boosted who got COVID. And I figure, well, I'm going to weigh the risks here and I'm going to stop worrying about the vaccination.
And that's kind of similar to the issue with the mask, because the goalposts were changing with the mask and what type of mask. Oh, yeah. And I get it, because this is something fairly new they were dealing with. But speaking of risk, we had a couple of risky moments when driving home from racing in Wisconsin, didn't we?
Okay, well, if me driving home 35 minutes incurs all kinds of risk, which it does, it's why I have insurance, both health insurance and auto insurance. Making a six-hour trip to Racine, Wisconsin with Jeff Shores, if my insurance agent would have been driving along, he would have probably said, your policy is invalidated. If you drive with someone like this, your policy is invalidated.
Regarding Dr. Kuntz's discussion of the four accounts of Christ's baptism, I was just wondering if anyone else had thoughts on the artwork put with that podcast. I found it somewhat scandalizing. It looks like only angels and John are depicted in the painting, but just wondering if anyone else had any thoughts about it, or if you'd like to comment. Great work. Keep it up. To God be the glory. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Now, so I'm going to scroll down here and take a look at the picture that attends the post. Is this the four accounts of Jesus' baptism?
With Dr. Adam Kuntz from the Bugenhagen Conference.
As the picture...
I just like saying Bugenhagen.
My daughter actually laughed out loud that morning before we left. She said, where are you going? I'm going to a conference. What conference? I said, the Bugenhagen Conference. And she just laughed out loud. Then she got her kids, my grandkids, to say it out loud. And they thought Bugenhagen was the funniest name they've ever heard. They're 6, 5, and 3. So I'm looking at the picture. It's a traditional painting of John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, probably as it occurred. This was not an immersion, because the Jordan is not enough of a river to immerse anyone in, unless, I guess, you lay down at certain very deep spots. But there is Jesus. There's John standing. He has a cross in his hand. Actually, I believe has a shell, and he's baptizing Jesus. There are some angels in attendance. And then Jesus is, we would say, scantily clad. Now, probably because in his real baptism, he was probably naked. And as he probably was also at his crucifixion. But, you know, we put the loincloth on Jesus in most crucifixes. Not all do, but most do, for purposes of our modesty. And I think that's what the painter has done here. The painter has said, well, Jesus would have gone down into the river to be baptized, probably unclothed. And for the purposes of our modesty, I'll put this loincloth on him. He's not wearing actually any less than you see in most crucifixes. So I don't know if I'd call it scandalous. I would call it art in this case, just a depiction of our Lord being baptized. Does it cause you any problems? Jeff, you're the guy with the final say on these things. Does it? I mean, this is a depiction of Jesus dressed no more undressed than at his crucifixion.
I'm for the fully nude Jesus, but it doesn't bother me. But I realize that modern sensibilities.
I couldn't find one of those.
I don't think you're going to find that.
No.
I think we have about 5 or 6. We have one in every bedroom, crucifix in our house, and a big one in the great room. It looks similar to the one that we have posted on our website, the baptism of Jesus.
I would say make that comparison there. And we're not trying to tantalize anybody or offend anybody at all. This is just a piece of art. I chose it because it was the right aspect ratio for the website. A lot of the baptism of Jesus artwork is very vertical portrait kind of stuff. This was more of a landscape depiction, which is what our website likes a little better. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
We're going nowhere. Why won't you talk to me?
Outreach is more than hosting community events and hoping that they stick. Effective outreach helps people move from congregational visitors to committed members and disciples of Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Find out more about this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Meaningful Outreach, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's fables and classic children's literature, math and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Richard writes, yesterday my daughter asked me, how is adult baptism in our Lutheran theology different than a baptism in the evangelical reform-based theology church setting? Her thought process was that as an adult conversion in our theology, the adult, through the power of the Holy Spirit, processes, thinks, decides that he slash she desires to be a child of God by being baptized. How is this different from Reform theology, where they decide to follow Jesus and seek baptism at any given age when they are instructed and understand the gospel message and need for baptism, also through the power of the Holy Spirit, just wanting to properly pass on our Lutheran theology to the next generation? Thank you in advance for your feedback and keep up the great work. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the email, Richard.
Well, from God's perspective, it's no different because no one comes to faith and then desires baptism apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not as though someone comes to faith and then the Holy Spirit shows up afterward. So from God's perspective, it's no different for, say, an adult convert to be brought to faith by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And then to say, I desire baptism. That's the Ethiopian eunuch. And in the Reformed tradition, now there are some in the Reformed tradition who do baptize infants. They teach about it quite differently than Lutherans do. And then there are some that don't. But if they say, well, we're going to wait, let's just talk about a Baptist, even a Reformed Baptist, they're going to say a child needs to be of sufficient maturity of mind in order to weigh the claims of Holy Scripture and the gospel, and then they would say, decide for himself. Now, they would not say that decision takes apart from the Holy Spirit, but they would put the emphasis more on the decision than on the work of the Holy Spirit. Whereas Lutherans say, there may well be a decision, but it's one wrought by the Holy Spirit. We put the emphasis entirely on the work of the Holy Spirit. The decision is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think there are probably some Reformed who would agree with us on that. So from God's perspective, it's no different. But from what is being taught about that chronology, an adult becomes a believer, then desires baptism and is baptized, what is being taught about that can be very different depending on what brand of reformed you're talking about. It's a big tent, the word reformed. It means different things to different people. So whenever, be it infant, adult, small child, whenever someone is brought to faith, it is the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word, and any subsequent decision or desire or whatever that may be is the result of the Holy Spirit's work. It does not mean that the Holy Spirit decides for you. It means the Holy Spirit works that desire, works that decision in you. So someone will say, I decided to invite Jesus into my life. And in most cases, if you press them and say, well, did you decide or did the Holy Spirit work on you and produce that decision in you? I think in most cases, they're going to say, oh, yeah, it's the latter. I just, you know, was kind of sloppy in my language. You'll find a few who will say, no, I decided, then the Holy Spirit showed up. I issued the invitation. And if you press them on that, aren't you kind of giving short shrift to the work of the Holy Spirit? You might be able to convince them that it's better to think of it the way that Scripture teaches, and that is the Holy Spirit works this salvation, this faith, and this desire to be baptized.
Will writes, do we Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Lutherans believe that Jesus leaves the elements once communion is over? Everything goes back to plain bread and wine? I rarely miss a podcast, he says. Thank you for your balance of issues and your confessional clarity. I learn a lot. Pastor Whedon's Bible study of Revelation and the Word of the Lord endures forever does a great job of cross-referencing to related scriptures and fathers of the faith. Thanks for the feedback, Will.
Well, there are two things here that I think we need to emphasize. One is kind of historical, and that is Lutheran teaching and practice until very recently has been to treat the elements, the bread and the wine, as Christ's body and blood after the consecration. And that means you do with them what Christ commanded you to do with them, which is receive them and eat them or drink them. So historically, Lutherans have taught and believed that when they are consecrated as Christ's body and blood, they are to be eaten and drunk. We don't do anything else with them. We don't store them away. We don't parade them around as the Roman Catholics do. We do with them what Christ commanded us to do with them in his institution. We eat them and we drink them. Now, there have been various solutions to this, but the best solution to this is to say, let's not prepare any more than can be reasonably consumed by either the people or by the pastor and those attending the Lord's Supper, so that we don't have a I have been at large services where they over-prepared, and the pastors involved after the service were in the sacristy for, I do not exaggerate, a half hour trying to finish off all of the elements. Now, that was a case of you can be irresponsible one way, you can be irresponsible the other way. Counting is something we learn in kindergarten. So just be a careful counter when it comes to these things. The tradition is that they're all consumed. It's just consumed. The question is never, when does it stop being Christ's body and blood? It's what do you do with Christ's body and blood? You do what he commanded you to do. You eat and you drink. Now, if you want a relevant passage from, say, the Lutheran Confessions, which would dictate Lutheran belief and practice on this, I would point you to Solid Declaration 7, beginning at 83, where it says, the consecration is always to be followed by the actions commanded in the consecration. You don't consecrate and then do something other than what Christ consecrated this for. So they make a rule in the Solid Declaration that the consecration is always to go with the other actions, and they list those actions as distributed, received, partaken of, but not enclosed, sacrificed, or carried around. So they repeat themselves. They say, this do, which embraces the entire action and administration of the sacrament, this do includes the bread and wine taken, consecrated, distributed, received, eaten, drunk, and the Lord's death shown forth at that time. And it says, these must be observed unseparated and inviolate, as also St. Paul places us before our eyes, the entire action of breaking bread and distributing and reception in 1 Corinthians 10:16. So that's solid declaration 7, beginning at 83. This is not an open question for Lutherans. This is, if you consecrate it, you consume it. Boom. We don't even, when does it stop being Jesus' body and blood? That's not a problem. We do with Christ's body and blood what he commanded us to do. To me, it makes perfect sense.
This comes from Mary. She resides in Newton, North Carolina. Hi, Pastor Wilkin and Jeff. What is the variation of a mighty fortress call that is played between hours 1 and 2 of Issues Etc. Live? We enjoy listening to that and want to obtain the music, but didn't know what it was called or who recorded it. Now, we're going to play it for you because podcast listeners never get to hear this music. This is for affiliates before the show starts and in between the first and second hour.
It's just to let the affiliates know that we're there. So it's a little brass ensemble of a mighty fortress. And if you listen to it in between the hours, you're getting just a little bit of it. It's actually a pretty long and complicated piece. What is it, Jeff?
It's a mighty fortress by the West Wind Brass Quintet. So there you go. A mighty fortress, West Wind Brass Quintet.
Isn't this like the third time that we've talked about? I mean, over the course of how many years? I know we've used that daily since we've been back almost, but I think this is maybe the third time and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's fantastic that folks like to know what that music is. I mean, that's a great piece.
It's a great piece. And actually, if you listen to the real piece, you're going to notice some differences because I edited it to make it 3 minutes long. And it is such second nature for me to hear that music. I kind of know how long I have until the live show starts by where we are in that piece of music.
I've tricked myself, Todd, because I know the same thing, but when I don't start it on time, then I'm in trouble.
We had one of those recently where I don't think we started on time, and then all of a sudden, hey, guess what? It's 3:03.
This comes from Kevin. Let's do some quick hit. Let's see how many emails we can get to here in the next 4 minutes. Kevin writes, good afternoon to the whole staff. Regarding your comments about the LCMS National Youth Gathering, I just want to give you my heartfelt thanks for being a balanced voice of wisdom. It's not perfect, but it was like Shark Week last week on social media and blood was in the water. You expressed a very good both/and type of statement. Thank you.
Well, happy to do that. This is, we have to recognize when progress is being made. If all we do is complain about the things that really should be complained about, but if that's all we do and do not acknowledge the progress that's being made, then we really offer very little encouragement. When we can acknowledge the progress that is being made, and a lot has been made in that area, I think it's always helpful to everyone. And then for those who are kind of wondering, why is everyone upset about this? They can get a little more context, what this thing used to be and what it is very, very slowly becoming.
This comes from Joy. Thank you so much for broadcasting programs like Josh Pauling's The Reality of Christianity and John Bombaro's The Christian Imagination. It's so easy to get lost in the muck. Real is real, and Issues Etc. helps me keep my focus. Thanks for all you do, and thank you for listening, Joy.
Very happy to do that. Where did we find Josh Pauling?
Rebecca Curtis.
Really?
She said, this guy's a convert to Lutheranism, and he's writing in a lot of the same publications that I write.
Just one good guest leads to another good guest. And John Bombaro, of course, is just a fantastic thinker and teacher as well.
Speaking of John, David in Missouri says, greetings in Christ. Dr. Bombaro's recent interview on Christian imagination left me saying, yeah, what he said. As a convert from evangelicalism, I've been grappling with the implications of the liturgy and particularly the Eucharist for years. There have been many other speakers I have heard and times of quiet reflection or moments when some piece fell into place, but Dr. Bombaro brought so many things together that his interview seemed almost like an ode to Lutheran biblical theology. Thank you for airing it, and thank you for listening in Missouri, David.
He thinks deeply about things, and he's kind of like St. Paul. His writing is sometimes difficult to understand because he does think so deeply about these things, but he does a great job of bringing it forward in those interviews, especially everything with him is always related in some way to preaching. That's his bailiwick. And I've often said we should get him in the classroom instructing our future pastors.
Dan, Washington State. I thought Terry Mattingly's discussion on the military recruitment crisis was spot on. He did a great job laying out his arguments through his research. He made a very complicated issue easier to get a hold on.
That was kind of out of Terry's wheelhouse, and he did do a very, very good job, especially of connecting the religion ghosts, or saying, look, there are religion ghosts in this recruitment crisis story that are simply not getting covered. And that's what Terry does well. He looks at the news of the day, and he says, is there something of a religion angle that's being overlooked or forgotten here? And he did a great job with that one on the recruitment crisis. A hard subject to cover because it doesn't seem like it immediately lend itself to the existence of a religion ghost.
Couple of snail mail. You know, I forget to read these. Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson gives me these, and I forget to read them.
We get actual mail?
Yes, we still get mail. This comes from Arthur in Ohio. This is regarding the 2022 issues, et cetera, making the case conference. Arthur says he's most especially pleased to hear the Finnish lady, Dr. Pavi Rossinen, and Attorney General Bill Barr, whom I was briefly able to speak with. Hearing him speak changed my perception of his role in the election controversy. There are maybe more than two sides to some stories. So there you go. Thanks for being a thinking Christian, Arthur in Ohio.
And both Mr. Barr and Dr. Rossinen did a fantastic job. If you didn't get a chance to attend the 2022 Making the Case conference, we have a recording of all the presentations and of all the worship events as well. And you could have it for a donation of $300 to issuesetc.org. If you need more information, you can give Lynn a call at 618-223-8385, and she'd be happy to set you up with the recording of the 2022 Making the Case conference. When we come back from the break, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson. He's host of the radio show Law and Gospel. We'll be discussing Jacob's dream in Genesis chapter 27. Stay tuned.
Since Scripture says to preach the Word, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? Preach the Word. Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about praying to Jesus' mother?
Pastor Chris Rosebro speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Scripture says to preach the Word. Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about humans evolving from monkeys? Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about women being pastors? Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about non-binary human beings? Scripture says to preach the Word. Scripture teaches sola scriptura.
You can watch and listen to Chris Rosebro's presentation, Making the Case for Scripture Alone, at the 2022 Making the Case conference. We'll send you links to download a podcast and watch a video stream for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is a short ad, and I don't have time to explain the whole thing to you, but you and your family need a good Lutheran church. You need this for spiritual nourishment and training, and for the support and community that comes from like-minded Christians. Your children need Lutheran friends who can become Lutheran spouses. If you don't have that where you live, you should move. One of the places you should consider is Fort Wayne, so that you can attend Redeemer, maybe send your kids to Redeemer Classical School, or just get your homeschooled kids involved with the school. Besides the church, Fort Wayne has lots to offer, including jobs. If you want to talk to families that have done just this, picked up and moved to Fort Wayne for the sake of the church, we can introduce you to some. And if you want to come for a visit, we can even help with housing. Life's too short and your children are too precious to live where you aren't spiritually fed and cared for. Your job, your income, is not the most important thing in your life. Find Redeemer Lutheran in Fort Wayne on the internet and drop us a line. We'd love to help.
Terry Mattingly is the eternal boomer. In other words, he, due to the circumstances of his birth, is lame.
Here's some feedback from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Terry can be counted on to deliver his boring, blasé take in his irritatingly pseudo-profound fashion. Anyway, lame. May God have mercy on Terry and Issues Etc. You're all a bunch of lame boomers.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.